The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.
Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire King, he's been synonymous. Nice word that, isn't it? Sounds, makes you sound a little more intelligent than you possibly are. Synonymous with the Cat Attack Podcast.
Four syllables since, for you, Benny.
Yes, it's a long time, Kingies. I think it's one of the longest sponsorships in sport. And since I think it might be since Andy Preston wore the socks down in the 28th for the Cats, right, which is many moons ago. But look, it's a long-standing partnership between James Kerr and the Cat Attack Podcast.
Now, Jared was actually in.
Was he?
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago.
Do you know what? I'm not lying here. I'm going to have to go and see Jared because I need to hire something.
What do you need to hire? Something Vaca Noisen?
Who do you play for?
He played for Bayern Munich.
He did, yeah, Vaca Noisen. No, I need something that sort of, you know, vibrates and why are you laughing, Tom? No, I need something that cuts wood.
Right.
Yes. And okay. I don't have anything that's large enough to cut the wood that's required.
Right.
So I'm gonna have to subcontract it out.
Off to Kerr's Hire,
yeah,
you go.
Possibly to a man with some overalls on.
Let the bakers bake, I say. If there are people who are talented at that stuff.
Well, I'm allergic to tools.
Yeah. Well, so am I, but I've been working with you for years.
Yes. Oh, God. Boom, boom. Nice one, Moz. There was this guy. Huh?
Oh, wow.
There was some...
Anyway, move on. Yeah. Have you been keeping abreast of the footy while you've been away, Ben?
Yes, absolutely I have, Kingy. Love to keep abreast. I watched both games, actually. Well, actually, I could only watch till halftime of Collingwood.
And then you had to go to the airport?
Yeah, but
it was Bali.
Yeah, good.
Right.
Good.
One of the first questions, this is what was fired at me from Mick Howley.
Yeah.
Did Benny do a mini pre-season in Bali?
I did.
Did he go for the deep tissue massage or more of a Thai style arrangement?
No, I did. There's plenty of hand spas over there, Kingy.
Right.
And I launched into a couple.
Good.
And it was good. It was very refreshing. And I did have a big session over there.
Right.
I was eating and drinking a lot. And I did watch. So I watched all of Hawthorn. I did end up watching the second half when I got home. Cats were pretty good, weren't they? That's good.
Yep.
Pretty good. They were. They were very good. No. And now Cat fans are over-racing, is it fair to say? They think that they're just going to launch back into it and win the flag again.
What did you describe the Cats as to me in the hallway a little bit earlier?
Well, they were the Cats are just like that. You know, when you were younger and you always, well, you didn't always, but you had that girlfriend that was a bit of a sort of fruitcake nutty type arrangement, and she would just, she just would bob up. She keeps coming back. You'd say no, and then you think, oh, you got rid of it. She's back again. And then you'd go out, she's there. You'd look at your phone, she's on it. You'd go anywhere, and she was there. The Cats are like that. They just refuse. They refuse to piss off. The AFL must be thinking, what is going on? We've tried every equalisation thing in the world, and they're still hanging around.
Yeah. Every handicap measure possible.
Yeah. It's a bit like that, you know, when you've eaten, when you've sort of fermented and you've had a big meal, and perhaps sort of 24 hours later you're on the couch watching, and you just sort of eke out the silent but deadly, and it's just a cloud that refuses to go anywhere. The Cats are like that.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a good analogy, but people know what I mean.
But they were very good for, well, look, they weren't brilliant. There were some errors but I don't think there'd been more pressure than
what. Yeah, I mean, look.
Especially the third quarter.
Yeah, Collingwood go through everything they had. I mean, they were undermanned, Collingwood.
Yep.
Let's be honest.
They still had 16 of their 22 premierships.
They had no forward line. They had five Oompa Loompas in their forward line. They had Elliot, who hadn't played for how long?
First game back in about a month.
Probably underdone after a good 5 to 6 weeks out. Schultz, Hill, Hosk and Elliot. Who they have as a tall forward? They didn't have anybody.
No.
Howe out, Mychek out, Cox out. Anyway, look, Mitchell's out. Anyway, the Cats did well. I do agree, though. I don't think Cats played super footy. They did enough to win. And like you say, when the game was on the line and Collingwood were really pressing, Geelong were good to hold firm. I know it's worked, and we poo-hooed Sam De Koning going into the ruck. His form's good. I just question. People will say I'm negative, whatever, but I'm just not convinced that. I think it's been good for him because he's found a bit of the footy.
Yeah, that's
and they've been able to do it against the teams that they've played. So the one team that they played, well, two actually, in the two teams that they played that have had got good tall key forward, they looked in a bit of trouble.
Which was Carlton.
Carlton pulled their pants down.
Yep.
And Peter Wright in the first half against Essendon looked super dangerous. Geelong took over the game. He didn't get the opportunities in the second half. But he looked dangerous in the first half. Hawthorn had zero forwards. Kel Shadier wasn't playing. Mitch Lewis played, didn't he?
He got hurt. He's done his knee.
Was he hurt in that game?
Yeah, late in the game, about third.
But he was underdone coming in.
Yeah, he hadn't played since Easter Monday.
Yeah, so he was underdone. They had no tall forwards. Yeah. You get to Collingwood, they got no tall forwards. Yeah. So there was the opportunity. There was no matchup for De Koning probably anyway. My concern would be that you get to a final. Three of the top four, Swans, have got Amati, McDonald and McLean.
Correct.
Brisbane have got Danaher and Hipwood.
Yep.
And Carlton have got Kurnell Mackay. I don't know that Geelong can beat them with Sam De Koning playing in the ruck.
Yep.
But I do agree, it might be perfect time because he's got his confidence up a little bit that he could go back and have an impact.
Does he go back this week because you've got Ugal, Hagen, Darcy?
Well, I don't think Norton. So. I have absolutely. I mean, Conway's out for the year.
Yep.
I don't think. I mean, Stanley's numbers in the twos were good, but I think they'd be reticent to bring him back.
But if he's got to come back at some stage, you would have to bring him back.
Well,
now.
I think that they think that they can get away with Jack Henry being their fullback. I'm not convinced that's the case at 189 centimetres. Yeah. I just don't think that is going to work against the good teams who have got good midfields, who can get the ball to those key forwards. I just don't know if that's going to be a working, a working plan for the Cats. But
you don't want Stanley coming in cold to a final, though. He needs to come back at some stage. So what have the Cats got? So
well,
got
I don't know that he does. I think they think that this is their setup for this year.
So they've got the Bulldogs into North Melbourne.
So Ugal Hagen, they'll put Colajasny or Henry on him.
Yep.
And it's a bit of a concern because he's actually quite athletic.
Darcy.
What is he? And Darcy as well. Darcy. Where do they put on Darcy?
Well,
he's 2-0 what?
Well, that's got to be De Koning, doesn't it?
He's the obvious matchup.
Does Stanley come back to play on English? Who actually, Stanley's gone all right against English over the journey.
Well, it's certainly something that will be tossed around because you're right. I forgot about Darcy. He's a gun, Darcy. He's only 20. Goodness me, wait till he's 25. It's a concern. And the other thing too, Kingy, I'm a bit worried about this week because it's at home, which is good, but the Bulldogs have a gun midfield. Now, Treloar was a late out last week in the win over Carlton. I assume, is he coming back?
I haven't heard that he won't come back.
So they'll have Bonampelli,
yep.
Liberatore,
yep.
Ed Richards,
yep.
Treloar,
McRae.
Yeah, well, McRae's sort of dropped off a little bit.
But he still finds
the footy. They have got options galore in the midfield, and traditionally Bonampelli and Liberatore play really well against the Cats. Now, Geelong have been able to get a makeshift midfield up and about with Stewart playing in there, Dangerfield playing quite well. Tanner Bruin, any chance to come back this week?
He was listed as a test, so we'll find out at 6 o'clock tonight. We're recording this Thursday afternoon at about 3:30.
So the one thing at least with Tanner Bruin's injury is that he would have been able to keep his fitness up. It wasn't a leg problem, which always I think is worse than having something wrong with your arm. So he shouldn't have lost too much fitness, albeit hard to replicate match fitness. But he would have been able to do some running. It'd be good to see him back, I reckon. But this is a big game for the Cats because it's a massive game for the Dogs. They're coming off a high against Carlton. They can stink it up, the Bulldogs, for every now and then. But they've traditionally played reasonably well here.
Yep.
Their record's probably pretty ordinary, win-loss, but they've actually been all right.
Mm.
So,
the only time they've won in the last 20 years was the round
last
24
year,
last year.
When Geelong had me and you playing.
Correct.
Yeah. So, but I don't know, it's a big game. Because if Geelong win this, you would have to think they would be certainties for top four.
Yep.
If they lose, they probably can still make top four, but it's not fait accompli as it would be if they were able to get a win. So it's a huge game. But, yeah, those things about De Koning, Stanley, the midfield, does Bruin come in? I think they're probably – does Shannon Neal go out and Ollie Henry comes in and plays as plays off as not a sub?
Ollie Henry's just going.
Well, he's good when he came on. Kicked a great goal and had five touches. He only played about a quarter.
I'm yet to be. He's not having the impact that he should be.
Well, he's got an impact sitting on the bench.
He's got but even when he wasn't, before he got injured, he was.
It's crowded forward line.
Yeah. Will he benefit from the fact that the Hawkins focus is no longer there?
And he hasn't had that opportunity. He's been sub every time he's played.
Mm.
He's been good when he's come on.
I wish he'd stop jumping off 2 feet for everything.
Oh, well, that's going to be him. But I think he'll be an absolute star, Ollie Henry. Just having a little bit of a lull at the moment. But do they take Neil out?
Mm.
Not that I'm advocating that. No. I'd be happy for Neil to stay in.
Neil's got to stay.
Well, do you need two tall forwards? Well, can you have Cameron as your tall forward?
But Cameron's they play two completely different roles.
I want Cameron to play close to goal. Yeah, I don't want Cameron playing.
But Neil coming up the ground has actually been coming up the ground to take marks. Been taking them on the wing and a half forward or competing there.
Yeah.
No. The Neil Cameron combination needs to be bettered in because I think that's what's going to be what takes Geelong deep into
September. Well, I don't think you can play Ollie Henry as a sub again. You can't just keep playing a Blake as a sub.
No, you can't.
I wouldn't be doing that.
Yeah. It would be interesting to see whether they rest Rowan.
Is he sore?
No, well, just the older blokes they've been managing.
I wouldn't be resting any bloody bloke who you think can help them win this week. I'd be doing that some other time, but not this week because this is a... Bulldogs are going to throw their kitchen sink at them.
You reckon some blokes won't go to Tassie?
Oh, I don't think they'll drop. I don't think they'd have mass... I mean, North aren't. If you just go down and think you're going to win, you end up getting your pants pulled down. But, no, I'm not suggesting that. But I think if they think Rowan, which I think he probably is a player that can help you win, I'm not resting him this week. Mm. I'm resting him the following week when you hopefully can then maybe give Ollie Henry a full game. You've got Stengel. You've got, I mean,
close
you've just got too many, too many, too many mid-sized forwards. Mm. So the other question, Kingy, Tom Hawkins, have we heard how he is tracking?
Well, we'll find out a little bit more Saturday night because he's actually coming on K-Rock Footy before the game.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, magnificent.
Yep.
I'll ask you this question.
3 to 5 weeks is what they've put on it.
So I'll ask you this. Let's say Tom Hawkins is ready to go for the final round. Mm. Do you play him against West Coast? We've spoken about this before.
Yes.
Do you play him in a final?
I'll wait and see how he shows up against West Coast.
But, I mean, the West Coast game, I don't think that's going to be a great barometer. You and I probably could sit in the pocket and kick a couple.
Yeah, but it's not going to be a great barometer, but it's how he goes about it. How does he move? How does the Cats' forward line function?
Do you think, though, the fact that it's not... I think if you did some polling of the electorate, that...
Mayor Quimby style?
Yes. Yeah, I love to poll the electorate. Mm-hmm. That... I reckon you'd get a split, a 50-50 or a 60-40. It wouldn't be...
No, they're not 100% Tom Hawkins being part of the Geelong team in September, Cats fans.
No. And we've seen that they're more mobile without him up forward.
Yep.
That's the question.
Less predictable?
Well, possibly. They're slicker without him there. That's just... He's 100 years old. Like, what do you expect?
He turned 36 this week.
Him chasing and doing all that, that's never been part of his game. So it's not like he's stopped doing it. He's never really been that good at it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Actually, we've got to remember to wish him a happy birthday because he's 36 on Sunday.
36? I don't know. I'm sure he wants us to telling him that. Not on air anyway.
So when he next plays, he will become only the sixth player to have played after turning 36 for Geelong.
He's been a freak, but...
And four of those... Three of them were actually part of Geelong's first.
I'm telling you, it's a huge decision. If he can't get up for the West Coast game, is he playing the final?
They'll give him every opportunity to. Then they'll have to make a hard call.
I'm sure they'll give him an opportunity. Okay, let's say he doesn't play in the final game he's fit.
I think he's
would
back.
You play him in the final?
I don't think that's going to be an issue. I think he's back.
I'm not asking you that. This is a hypothetical.
But that's a hypothetical. It's not going to happen.
Well, it may. We're talking about 1 week.
But he's 3 to 5 away.
Well, there's only how many weeks in the season? Five
Six.
Left. Six.
Yeah.
Well, 3 to 5. He could be a Laurie Keane. He was only 2 weeks. He was out for about 4 years.
So he could be back in 3. He could be back for Well, he's not going to Perth, but he could be back for the St Kilda game.
But do you think if he comes back and doesn't perform, they've got a massive decision to make?
Absolutely they do.
Be interesting to see. God, legend of the club. Glad I'm not making that decision, Tom. You can't work all year to finish, let's say, top four or whatever it is, and then give a bloke a game who you actually, in your heart of hearts, don't think is the right fit for that game. I don't think you can do that, regardless of how many games they've played, and that's the brutal nature of footy.
And that's why people get paid a lot of money, a lot more than you and I, to make those decisions, Benny.
Well, they get it wrong too. Isn't it ironic that, you know, the Cats have been able to find something which you would call semblance of form off the back of bringing in young blokes.
Mm.
I'm bringing old blokes.
Humphreys.
Yeah, he's been good.
Mm.
I don't know that he'll last the distance this year. I mean, Cat fans...
But because he's 21, will he?
Well...
If he was an 18, 19-year-old...
He looks a bit sort of sloppy in his setup, doesn't he?
Now, the only thing I've noticed is he wears very big shorts.
He does wear big shorts. He has a... I was watching him run, and I'm trying to think who he reminds... He has a run that reminds me of somebody. I can't think of who that somebody is.
Gait.
Yeah, he does. It's an awkward sort of gait, slightly awkward. I don't know. Look, I'm hoping he does, but I wouldn't just lock it in your first season of footy, AFL footy. And he's coming from a fair way back, don't forget. I know he's 21, but he's still got a lot of physical development to come. But he's been good. He's a lovely user of the ball. He's shown a bit of courage.
Yep.
Going back with the flight a few times and intercepting. I think there's certainly a role for him. And it's. I love the kick he did. The last quarter, he did an inside 45 kick,
yep,
into the middle. Had to be pinpoint. I think it went to Manor, possibly, and split three defenders. And it ended up, well, it might have been Atkins he kicked it to. It was one of those. Anyway, 45-degree kick. You don't normally associate kids playing their third game, trying to bite off a fair bit at risk-reward. He was able to hit the kick. Geelong ended up getting a goal out of it. Really liked that. And he's, he's been a good player. But I just don't pencil him into seeing out the year and keep maintaining really good form, because he is a first year player.
Yep. But for the moment, you keep playing him.
Oh, at the moment you do.
Yep.
You just keep on keeping on.
He's gone from 15 to 17 to 23 in terms of disposals in his first 3 weeks. 23 is not bad darts off half back in your third game.
No, against the Pies, that's good. That's good darts. This week would be interesting because Dogs probably play a different game.
At 96% efficiency.
Yeah, he is efficient, and he's a right footer, but he is very adept on his left, which makes him a difficult matchup, because those players that can go both sides. And I always think, when I think of that, the player I think of is Sam Mitchell.
Mm.
Could go either side, and he was slow as treacle. Sam Mitchell, slow as treacle, but he certainly didn't have any great zip. But he wasn't
going to stall.
He was so unpredictable, because he could go either way with similar effectiveness, and just made him so difficult to match up on. Because who am I thinking of for the Cats? Who's a one sided player? Who have we got one sided?
What, very one?
No, like a left footer. We haven't got any left footers, have we? We need to get left footers.
Cameron.
Well, he's one. Yeah, I'm talking more midfield type player rather than a forward. We haven't got one.
No,
we need to get mid left footer, Kingy. That's what we need to get. Have they got a bias against left footers? What is it? Peter Riccardi was a gun left footer.
Shannon Burns.
Paul Couch. Oh, Paul Couch. And Shag is a lovely bloke. And he was great. But if you're comparing him to Peter Riccardi and Paul Couch, he was as slow as treacle. He couldn't kick on his right either. No.
I'm just having a quick look at the Geelong team from last week.
Yeah.
Yes.
We haven't got any left.
Well, actually, Mark Blitzhoff tries to kick on his left a bit.
Jeez, he needs to shelve that.
No, it's only Cameron.
Do you know what I've noticed?
Cameron is
commentary?
The only natural left footer.
We heard he was a steeplechaser.
Apparently.
Apparently, yeah. Who was close again in the Olympics. My understanding is he actually was nowhere near
getting it.
He was like, they're actually timing him with a sundial compared to the Africans who are in front of him.
He was
like 5 or 6 seconds off.
He was of national quality in Australia.
Yeah, but that was racing like you and me,
yeah,
who just had our lunch. I wouldn't be using that. That was at the school sports. He was all right. He was
still
nowhere near an Olympic.
He's still
nowhere
good,
near
still
it.
A good athlete.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
yeah, much better than you and I.
But he is. But don't get fooled into thinking he was near getting to the Olympics. That's just the greatest load of baloney. Born.
He went to an Olympic trials.
So did probably how many others? Like, I went to a couple of trials. I went to the sheepdog trials, and there's three got found guilty.
Oh, it's an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah, that is a
I'm just having a look at the all-time Geelong playing list for left footers.
Yeah.
So Riccardi.
What are you looking this up on?
Just AFL tables.
Who puts this up? Well, a left footer?
No. Well, Gary Hocking.
Buddha, he wasn't a left footer, but he was good on his left.
Yeah. Then Couch, Cameron Ling.
Yeah, well, he was good on his left.
And then down Benny Graham.
Yeah, well, he was a bomb on his left. He could seriously launch the Polaris missile, couldn't he?
Was the Rat left or right foot? Because he was adept on both sides.
He was a right footer.
Yeah, but he was very good on his left.
He was, yep. Very good.
Josh Hunt.
Yeah, old Joshy.
He could launch Polaris missiles. Would you like some questions, Benny?
I love questions.
All right, let's go off the big footy first. Catters 28, hi guys. What are your thoughts on Jai Clark this year? Obviously a young player, we don't expect him to be a superstar immediately, but for mine, he's the obvious out for when Bruin returns. Also feel like a player like Closey could play instead of Clark and be the same or even a bit more.
I think Clark's sort of working into the season okay from where I sit. Like he's 19 still, isn't he?
Yes.
I don't think he's 20 yet. I thought he was okay against Collingwood. Look, I wouldn't be replacing Clark with Closey. Not while my ass points to the ground. The future of one of the futures of the midfield that I'm sure you can stamp is Clark.
Yep.
Closey may be part of it. He may not. I don't know. But he's not in the same league as a bloke taken top 10 in the draft. Get more games into him.
He turns 20 on Tuesday.
There you go. So he's not even 20,
yep.
And I think he's actually playing quite well. He's going to be limited, and he's going to have poor games. Yes, there's no way known I'm replacing him with what some bloke they picked up at the hot dog stand. Closey.
Howl of 41, Benny. Well, the Cats went bang, bang, bang very quickly, and I didn't want to prematurely celebrate. G. Neal, the first couple of minutes, caused some movement in the southern states. Fell their overall turnovers. Drop marks were the only thing keeping Pies in the game. Once tidied up, we kept them at arm's length. Zach Guthrie ran a Bath for Hill, kept him to 10 posies and 6 turnovers.
Yeah, he was very good, Zach Guthrie. Another notch on his belt. Not only has he been an attacking defender at times, but he's shown he could lock down there. I mean, the service to Hill wasn't great. But, yeah, he did the job, which is great. Another sort of string to his bow, if you like, because we don't normally associate him with playing on the best small forward. We probably associate him with being on a more mid-sized type player. So, look, he's just... I think he's one of those blokes that the coaches would love. He's coachable, I'd imagine. He listens. He tries to implement what is being asked of him. And he's a good player to boot. Like, He's a lovely kick. He's got lovely hands. He keeps his feet. He's not slow. I mean, not super quick, but he's not slow. Look, he's just an all-round polished performer.
Danger makes our centre bounce work so much better with his size, speed and strength. Once Bruin returns, I think Stewart could go back into defence. Mitch Duncan looked like a pensioner on payment day, shuffling into Centrelink, has really slowed. I actually think he's been pretty good the last few weeks, Mitch Duncan.
He's been better. Yep. Yeah, he's been better than... he had the stink bomb against Carlton.
Yeah, but he wasn't alone.
No, he wasn't alone. He has been better. Hopefully there's a little bit more to come. And he might be one that, you know, he's got the experience on the board that builds into it and actually hits the ground running. I mean, Mitch Duncan is the type of player who, yeah, okay, he's coming towards the end. We all know that. Has he had a great year? No. Has he been okay at times? Yes. Has he been poor? Yes. But he's the sort of bloke you could put into a final and he could be your best player.
Yep. Would like to see De Koning back to defence to take on Darcy with Norton and Hagen as well to care for.
We spoke about that.
Yeah, blitz to ruck with Neil chopping out. Feel the Cats could get Neil into games more by doing this.
Well, I spoke about that in a podcast earlier, Kingy, that, you know, that I think it was the week they actually dropped him out of the team. Mm. That, you know, albeit they may not see him as a ruckman, it may be similar to Sam De Koning in that it gives him an opportunity to play, get more minutes, and more minutes for him are valuable now. He's going to have some rough games, quiet games. We've got to ride those out and get him to the point where he can show more consistency. But that's still a few years away. That's not happening overnight. And De Koning's one that they've been able to get some confidence back into.
Andrew Mackie,
by playing in the ruck.
Andrew Mackie played hardball with Port over Asava and got pick 25, which we turned into Austin Humphrey, George Stevens and Mitch Edwards. Obviously, we haven't seen Stevens and Edwards. Edwards is out at the moment with a back issue, but Humphreys has turned in to be a winner so far. Daz Broncos, welcome back, Ben.
Yes.
No three-quarter time live cross pinches to the nether regions. No time code notations for blue edits on the podcast. No manic scribbling during the ad break before the quiz. No diving to open the window for air mid-broadcast. Back to normality this week.
Well, we'll just get things back on track, Daz. No doubt we'll have a bit of a have a crack.
Mitch Edwards seems to be suffering a back issue. Conway's done for the year. Stanley will hang him up at the end of the season. Yes. What is the curse of the Cats ruck stocks and health? Scott, quote regarding rucks with you, either have too many or too few. Yeah, we ain't seen the too many side in recent history.
No, well, that's 100% right. I'd be interested to see what they do at the end of this year, Kingy, because I think they're going to have to make a move in that space. How that is or who that is or how that looks, I've absolutely no idea. But I think they're going to have to make a move given Conway's Loch Ness. He's going to return to Loch Ness. Mm. He's just at this stage, he's not physically capable of seeing out a season. And stress fracture in the foot for a bloke that's his height
Navicular.
And his weight is not good. And you think they're not going to go on with Stanley, surely to God. So they're going to have to get a ruckman. Hmm. They're going to have to try and recruit a ruckman who's... I mean, they're not going to get a star. Can they get someone who contributes? That's what they'd be looking for. And as who that is Sean Darcy?
No, he's staying, I believe.
Are you sure?
Oh, well, I can't be certain. I'm not inside Sean Darcy's
well,
head.
Well, Luke Jackson, he... I don't know if they can coexist, can they?
No, a bit Grundy, Gorn-like.
Well, I just think Luke Jackson seems to play best when Darcy's not there.
Yeah, and plays better in the ruck.
Yeah.
Yep. Again, Wells...
And Darcy can't play anywhere but other in the ruck. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Again, Wells is the ultimate drafting and trading cheat code in the AFL. Mackey holds out in a Sava trade for 25 plus 76 and 94. No. Everyone laughs and casts scorn and derision. Meanwhile, Wells picks Stevens 76 into 58. Humphreys with 94 into 63. Humphreys at pick 63 just got the Rising Star nomination. In Wells we trust.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot more than just Stephen Wells, in fairness. But, Look, I'd love to know the machinations, Kingy. There's another good word of the recruiting and how it works. Because we just, you know, lord Stephen Wells as if he's some sort of cross between Jesus and...
The Dalai Lama himself.
He's a big hitter.
The big hitter, the Lama.
Yeah, he's a big hitter, Lama. Sure.
Hey, Benny, on your deathbed, you will receive...
A state of total consciousness. Which is nice. So,
guess I've got that coming for me.
Which is nice. No doubt Stephen Wells plays a part, but let's not just think that he's the only one doing this. I'd love to know who picks. I'd love to know how the recruiting of Lawson Humphreys came about, who spotted him, how it went, how much Stephen Wells saw him, how much did other recruiters see. I know they have somebody on the ground there in WA who is full-time. Oh, I don't know if they're full-time, but they've located in WA. So whether they spotted them, whether did, I don't know, did Shane O'Brien go over there? Did someone go over there? I don't know, but I sort of wince a bit when we just sort of talk up Stephen Wells as it in a bit because he's... I'm not sure that he does everything.
No, he just leads it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't even know that he has... He'd have a big say, but I don't know if he just has the final say, Carl, and say, we're picking this bloke.
No, it'd be
a round table discussion.
Team effort.
Yeah.
The old-fashioned team
effort. The old team effort.
Cats do it better. For those that follow the VFL, it feels like we had a few long weeks of hoping we'd get Manor, Lawson and Hardy in the team as they dominated VFL games. We've got two of them in now who look pretty settled in the team. It'd be great to see Hardy get a couple of games to see if he's up to the level. From what I've seen of his VFL games, he seems an accumulator who doesn't stand out with his play, but he can hit the scoreboard. Could be a good compliment to the other mids we have, or is he destined for the illustrious Cats VFL BNF delisting combo that has fallen to others?
Yes, he's destined for the latter.
Yep.
He's not. I'd be staggered if he gets a game. They'll bring Tanner Bruin back before they bring him in. They're not going to drop him out, I wouldn't have thought. They're not drop Clark out to bring him in. I'd be very, very surprised if he's getting a crack, given he hasn't had a crack at this stage. That's not to say he hasn't deserved it, but they seem seemingly a reticent to play him, and if they haven't played him by now, I'm not sure they're going to, given that Bruin is probably the next in line to come back.
All right, KFCX, we
also
put out the call for questions. We touched on McCowley's a little bit earlier. Arngold King, I cannot answer that one here, Arngold, but it's regarding just getting an app up for Carrick Footy. We are working on that. So hopefully by 2025, we'll be working towards that. Chris Quine at Hi Gents, when is the AFLPA going to step in and make a stand regarding tackling? Mm. The Charlie Cameron and Bedford tackles getting 3 weeks is a joke. Players know the risk of playing AFL when they sign life-changing contracts. Hate to admit it, but I'm loving SDK's improvement in the guts.
Yeah, I agree with all that. that last part there, as we spoke about, is that sustainable against the better teams with big forwards? Time will tell, given that the two teams that they've played had big forwards. They did look vulnerable in six of the eight quarters, the second half against Essendon, they didn't. Yeah, I agree about the tackling. It's just purely outcome-based. It's not tackle-based. It's just frustrating. I don't know what Alf Bedford could have done. He tackled him. Guy unfortunately hit his head. If you sling someone and...
If there's two motions...
Yeah, you sling someone to the ground, they hit the head, I've got no problem with getting rubbed out. If you just tackle a bloke normally and he happens to hit his head and gets injured, that's part of the game, unfortunately.
Has it happened more often, though, in recent years than it used to happen? We weren't talking about this in the 90s, blokes getting concussed.
People weren't coming off in the 90s. No. These blokes weren't coming off.
But we weren't even
and
talking about...
And seven doctors asked them whether they... You know, what day it is. And
that's improved for the better.
Yeah. But the game
hasn't. But I still don't think... I know, maybe because the game was more open. And I know we get...
It's more... Well, possibly. There were still big hits.
Mm.
There was tackling. I mean, some of the stuff that was now people getting rubbed out for was on the news.
Yeah.
As a highlight.
Yep. Well, you think of the one that sticks out is the Michael Voss bump on Alan Richardson.
Yeah.
When he put him into next year.
I mean, all those things. I'm fearful of the tackle. And I mean, what frustrates the living crap out of me is that they use this terminology of potential to cause injury. So does going for a mark.
Mm. Yeah, what are they going to do? Ban the hanger?
Well, that'll be the next thing. If you go up with your knee and you hit someone in the back of the head and knock them out, what happens?
Mm.
That's an accident.
Yep.
Exactly the same way tackles can be accidents. Mm. And guys throwing their heads back and pretending to hit their head on the ground in tackles. They should be suspended for that.
Staging.
Yeah.
So we'll find out more when there's an appeals hearing tonight for both Bedford and Cameron.
If they don't get... It just frustrates... The Bedford one, Charlie Cameron was quite aggressive. You could see... I don't know if he did much wrong. He was quite aggressive, and we don't like... Unfortunately, the AFL doesn't like that. But the AFL, their whole mantra is to protect their image.
Yeah. It's optics.
Yeah. And they don't. The image is key to them, and the image of blokes getting knocked out in a tackle is not great. And I don't know. I do fear where the game is going. If we lose the tackle and guys are reticent to tackle, and you're actually, I don't know. It's just frustrating. And I don't speak to anybody that isn't frustrated. So we're sort of the fans are unanimous in their disgruntlement of what's going on in the AFL. I mean, Andrew Dillon saying how great everything's going.
The umpiring is as good as it's ever been.
Taking his pills? He needs to go and see that bloke outside the Quickie Martin Barley.
Nuffy from Corio. The public has seen enough. Jason Doherty to be promoted and Barley Belly Casanelia to commentate the GFL from now on. Let's hope the drop down to the GFL level will make him more relaxed.
We live in a democracy, so you're allowed to have your opinions, King. And Nuff is likes Jace, which is fantastic. I like Jace too.
So does Damien Tedesco, by the sound of it. Kingy, great call with Jace on Friday night. Benny, hope Barley was great and the Latan got to work out. Boys, good to see us finally getting two Rising Star noms in the same year. When did that last happen? 2019, Charlie Constable and Grian Myers.
Was there three or not?
No, two that year.
Oh, right.
Two that year.
Oh, that's good.
And with Loch Ness out, is it SDK for the rest of the year? We have sort of touched on that.
Well, I think that, at this stage, I don't see it being any different, but I think the Cats think that that's the way to go. But are they going to get exposed? Possibly. Could Neil go into the ruck and Blitzarves go into defence?
Not beyond the realms of possibility.
Or Blitzarves, I'm just trying to work out how it would work. So, I mean, De Koning, if they're going to leave, I don't know. It's a conundrum, Kingy. It's a bit like it's a real conundrum. Mm-hmm. It's like, have you ever had...
Did you take a thesaurus with you to Bali? Because some of the words you've come out with...
No, I didn't.
Hmm.
I don't use... what? Thesaurus. When did they roam the earth?
They were one of the last ones to die out.
Yeah, they were, yeah.
Premieres, weird season, have no idea what happens next, but they are playing well at the minute.
They are playing well. I mean, they've had a little bit of a... They've probably got Hawthorne at a good time at home, and then they got Collingwood certainly at a good time with absolutely no forward line. They've had a bit more firepower. It reminded me, Kingy, of... Remember the Iraqi war?
Yep.
Remember when Norman Schwarzkopf and the Shock and Awe?
The general.
Yeah, well, I mean, that really wasn't a fair fight, was it, that one?
No.
Because The Americans had bombs that had cameras on the nose cones where you could actually watch the bomb go down someone's chimney.
Yep.
The Iraqis, they were firing their bombs out the back of a Datsun 120 and then running inside to watch the telly to see where they landed. It just wasn't a fair fight, was it?
Marky Mark. Love Mark Neal's comments about how there's another team on the field and they're not going to let you do what you want and how players don't stuff up on purpose. Great stuff. Humphrey signed from a pick we got for Radigalea. Well done, Andrew Mackey. And Edmund. So, Benny, SDK in the ruck, are you on board?
Look, I'm on board to the point where I think it's actually worked and that it's given him some confidence. Am I on board if a key forward in a finals kicking five goals are looking menacing? Probably not. And he's just going in the ruck. If we're playing Carlton, do I want to see him in the ruck against his brother? Probably not. So it's partially worked because of the opponents that they've played. They've been allowed to do that because they don't have... part of me says that against the better teams with the bigger forwards, we're going to get exposed. So, but as you say, Kingy, maybe they do bring back Reece Stanley and then De Koning with confidence under his belt goes back and plays well in defence. I don't know. But as it stands right now, I'd be thinking the Cats think that De Koning is their ruckman for the remainder of this year and then watch this space going forward.
See you Saturday, Benny.
Yeah, bye.
Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.